Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
It was the 14th of October, and that t-shirt off your shoulder. I was drunk, said I was sober, and you said, yeah, right. We were talking for a minute, then some guy tried to cut in. You took my hand, and we pretended like I was your guy.
So, property taxes. Oh, by the way, lightning, thunder, rain. Massive storm line runs all the way from Pensacola all the way to Corpus Christi, Texas, all along the coast. And it has now finally crossed the border into Alabama. It was, steadily crossing the border, presumably legally, from Louisiana to Mississippi, and then from Mississippi into Alabama. And now it has crossed the border into Escambia County. And the heavy stuff is not going to come down in an hour. It's coming down right now. And for the next probably hour or so, I would guess. Property taxes. We're in a weird place on this property tax thing. Let me kind of tell you what's going on. Of course, Governor DeSantis has said get rid of property taxes, by which he means get rid of property tax on homesteaded property. He doesn't mean get rid of it apparently on, rentals and business properties, but just on homestead. So, if you buy your home, you own your home. You don't have to keep paying rent to the government to own your home. I tend to think that if you own property, you shouldn't have to pay rent to the government to own it at all. I don't know why your home is so special, other than that we do take some special ideas about your home. Like, you can declare bankruptcy and still keep your home, okay? But, I mean, if you own a piece of property, why should you have to pay rent to the government to keep owning it, no matter what it is, whether it's your house or not? That's my philosophical issue. I'm against property taxes. I think that there's no justification for property taxes, and the idea of making people pay more of them just because their home is worth more is equally indefensible. Why does the person who's got a $1 million home, why do they owe twice as much as the person with a $500,000 home to support a fire service or police or roads? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Did they use the roads twice as much because they have twice as big a house? I mean, you can't justify that. The only way you can justify it is by saying, well, they have more so they can pay more, which is, socialism. I mean, the progressive tax system is the idea that, well, they've got the money, so let's get it from them. We got to fund this somehow, tax the rich, right? That's the premise. I know it's a flat millage, but it's a progressive in the sense that if you are more wealthy, you pay more, okay? But the state is trying to figure out what to do with this. Now, the problem, I say, is I'm thrilled that the governor's looking at this and trying to do it. What I'm not thrilled about is that the approach seems to be we're going to eliminate property taxes and we're done here. There doesn't seem to be a great discussion being had about how else will local government get funded, because if you stop taxing people's homes, you're going to have massive budget shortfalls for every county and municipality in the state of Florida. You can't just solve that by sending a bunch of kids around to pretend they know anything about accounting and call it Doge and then wave your magic wand and say spend less money. I mean, it doesn't work that way. That's a childish approach to this subject. So what you need to do is come up with a replacement plan. All right, we're going to take away this funding stream. How are we going to replace it? Or, for example, you're not going to pay the property tax to the government side of, your county or your city, but you're still going to pay it for the schools. Well, that's still a property tax. That's still renting your property from the government for the purpose of supporting the public school system. I mean, this whole thing it's very headline-y oriented and not the, deep architecture of a good solid plan oriented, or so it seems to me. Somebody who's thrilled to be talking about getting rid of property tax. I mean, I never thought I'd live in a place where, gosh, we don't have income taxes and we don't have property taxes. Good Lord, thank you. But if you're going to be an adult about it, you got to come up with a replacement. The replacement has always been a flat tax. I mean, some kind of a sales tax has always been the alternative. I mean, there's other things you could talk about. You could talk about having a person tax. Everybody pays $500 a year to be a resident, and if you don't, you go to jail. I don't know, but because everybody who's breathing uses police and fire and roads, and everybody should pay a portion of the tax. Even if you don't purchase anything, you should still pay it, okay? So, but the replacement part has been pretty thin. On the other hand, the discussion about what the shape of the change in property taxes are going to be has sort of begun to take shape. And Florida Tax Watch has proposed five different ways that you could back off of or eliminate or reduce or however you, you know, adjust the property tax. And they're a little complicated, which is, I mean, fine. It's a tax issue. It's going to be a little bit complicated. But they are kind of distinct. And I just kind of briefly walk through them just so you kind of know what the conversation looks like. One would be that you eliminate them over time, either 10 or 30 years, by freezing the assessed value of the homesteaded property and then raising the exemption gradually so that the exemption is so high that every home would be under it over the course of the next 10 or 30 years. So that would basically phase it out over time. So, you know, you're talking, I mean, this is, you know, billions of dollars of stuff, but that would be one way to do it. Not a tomorrow, but a over 10 years or 30 years. And that would also theoretically maybe give local governments a chance to adapt or give us time to come up with some other funding mechanism. Another approach is seniors, that people over 65, you would just wipe out their homes. You would make their homestead exemption 100%. So seniors at the age of 65 wouldn't have to pay taxes. 22% of our population is seniors. That would eliminate about $3.5 billion in property taxes. Option number three would be to kind of separate the property tax to the government versus the property tax to the schools. And you would still pay it for the schools, and maybe you wouldn't pay it for the government. You know, you wouldn't pay it for the city or the county, but you would pay it for the school district. School taxes are about $21 billion, okay? And so you'd keep the other half. You would still have to pay those. Percentage-based reduction would be just looking to reduce the size of your property taxes. You know, you'd mandate that every local municipality or county is going to have to give us, you know, a homestead exemption increase of 20% or 40% or whatever, something like that. So it's not eliminating, it's reducing. And then there are some things they talk about that aren't kind of in the same category, because a lot of that stuff would require constitutional amendments. This would be, which of course the voters have to approve. The other stuff would be that there are statutory changes they could do. And so, for example, making the rollback millage rate default, which means that governments would have to justify increases, you know, rather than assuming them by keeping the millage rate constant. If you don't understand the rollback rate, the short version is that as property values go up, it takes a lower millage percentage. Okay, a mill is just a tenth of a percent, if it helps think about it that way. But it takes a lower millage on a bigger base value in order to get the same budget every year. So the rollback rate is last year's budget based on the increased property values. And, you know, currently we define it as a property tax increase if you simply keep the millage rate constant. There's a truth and a not truth in that. But anyway, this would basically make the rollback rate the default. Of course, when times are bad, the rollback rate is actually an increase. Strengthening truth in millage notices to show total revenue impacts, rate changes, that kind of stuff. So those are kind of that's the rough shape of what we're talking about right now. I am much more interested in the replacement money. What's your alternative? How are you expecting counties and cities to meet their budget if you're not going to let them get property tax? Which, by the way, it's not like as a property taxpayer, you're just going to get off scot-free. The theory is that you just don't pay property taxes, but you would pay elsewhere, like, you know, a tax on purchases or something. And that's fine. That's an adult decision. But a lot of people think, oh, yay, property taxes, no more. And that's it. Well, that's not it. There's more to that conversation. Anyway, John Pickens has got traffic for us. John?
That's right. Still dealing with an accident that happened on University Parkway and East 9 Mile Road. Seeing some road blockage on University Parkway there. Also, just got a tip in on westbound Highway 90 at Scenic Highway. There's a breakdown in the left lane starting to back up onto the bridge, so just be aware of that. Also, I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, seeing about a 10 to 12 construction congestion delay. And if you're going I-10 westbound trying to get on to 110, you're seeing about a 7 to 9 minute delay there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you are 64, turning 65, or you are retiring, or for any reason you have questions about Medicare or Medicaid or anything in that vicinity, give Ricky Stewart a call. She's a good friend of mine. I have known her as long as we've lived here, back when she was a reporter and doing various things since then. She's a great person, and her whole family does insurance. This is the one part that she does. So I know a lot of people, you know, when you're 64, you start to get like all these letters and you get these phone calls, and it can be scary because they make it seem like it's this big, difficult, dire, threatening thing. It's not. But I know there's natural apprehension when you're going from traditional health insurance to Medicare, because it's a different thing, and you might have questions about, you know, prescription drugs and, you know, Advantage. What's Advantage? And, you know, what is supplement? And is Medicaid? Do I qualify for Medicaid? What does that even mean? I don't know. They sound very similar. Well, they're not the same, but they sound similar. It's confusing. It doesn't have to be. You can just give Ricky a call. She's, you know, great at talking people through this. She's talked with many, many other listeners of the show. 341-2185. Look her up online, insuredbyricky.com. R-I-C-K-I is the spelling on that, or just look up Ricky Stewart Insurance. Okay, just to button up this conversation about property taxes, which, by the way, I'm just, you know, if you want to weigh in on whether you'd like to get rid of them or not, take your phone call, you know, take your phone calls, your text, 437-1620. We are in a weird place because on the one hand, the governor is promising, you know, to put this on the ballot or to do it or whatever. And so next year is presumably when this will all really come to a head. But also, they've got the Doge thing and trying to cut down on wasteful spending, and they're pretending like local governments are all a bunch of, you know, just throwing money out the bus and burning it in the fireplace and stuff, which, you know, there might be some of that, but, you know, I know a lot of our local folks and they don't think that's the case. They're trying to make ends meet and hire, you know, EMTs and hire cops and get the ditches cleaned and repave the roads. And, you know, the person who complains about too many potholes and turns around and wants their property taxes cut. Like, you know, pick one, right? You can't have both. So the problem, as I see it, or kind of the scope of the issue, is we're in an environment where the governor is acting like cut, baby, cut. Local governments, seeing the cost of everything go up, are saying, God, no, we need the money. You know, you're killing us. We can't do the job that the people elect us to do if you do this. And in along with that, some local governments are actually raising taxes. The school board raised your taxes in Escambia County by a half a mil for the capital budget. The Escambia County Board, talking about this the other day, they put in, you know, the fire service fee went up. It doubled, right? In Santa Rosa County, they tried to see if maybe we could add a tax. That did not work. But in the process of trying to have clarity about who pays what for what services and shifting over to the MSTU, I always want to get this wrong, for the sheriff, they wound up making it possible, for example, for Gulf Breeze to keep your taxes even, but you wind up getting a tax cut because you're two mils off, you're not paying the MSTU for the sheriff anymore, which is fine. It's a tax reduction. Everybody likes that. But also in Milton, the proposal, and tonight they're going to have their meeting, is to raise your taxes by one mil. And their argument is, well, you're getting a two mil cut from the county, we're raising it by a mil. That's a net negative one. Well, it is also still a tax increase. I mean, it's a one mil tax increase. They're literally going to vote on it tonight at the city council meeting. It's a special called meeting just for this issue. Okay, so here's why I mentioned this. The governor is trying to cut. The governor is acting like local governments do a poor job. The governor is talking about all the Doge and property tax and all this stuff. Meanwhile, your local governments are, except for Gulf Breeze, either trying to or actually raising your taxes, which is going to be a hard sell image-wise when you go to the governor and be like, help us, when he's going to say, I can't trust you people. You keep raising their taxes. Even if the local governments are justified in doing it, they are leaning in the direction of the skid and not in a good way. So they're making it easier for the governor to make his case. And from a just effectiveness and appearances and politics standpoint, that may be counterproductive. So just something to keep in mind. I've been told that this came up at the legislative delegation meeting the other night. I haven't listened to all that meeting yet, but it's a problem. I mean, it's going to be a problem. And I am sympathetic to all sides here because I hate paying taxes, especially property taxes. I also hate, you know, not having cops and roads and fire and having the stormwater ponds cleaned out. You know, I like having good water quality. Well, that takes money to make happen. So, you know, just ECUA raised rates. Okay, I hate it, but it's not that much, but it is a rate raise. 437-1620, I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson. Have you ever made a spiritual bucket list? In Proverbs 30, a man named Agur makes his spiritual bucket list. He asks God to grant him two things before he dies, and his prayer is the only prayer listed in the entire book of Proverbs. The first thing Agur asks for is that God would remove from him anything that would hinder his walk with God, such as vanity or lying. Secondly, Agur requests that God would not give him anything that would hinder his relationship with God, such as poverty or even wealth. More than anything, Agur just wants to be pleasing to God. So what's on your spiritual bucket list? Let your list be all about pleasing God.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Tired of your roof playing peekaboo with the rain? Call Quality Roofing. They fix leaks faster than your neighbor borrows your lawnmower.
Thank you, neighbor.
Whether it's storm damage or shingles gone wild, their expert team handles it all. No duct tape required. With top quality materials and service so good, even your mother-in-law will approve, especially their lifetime workman warranty. Don't wait for your ceiling to start drip-dropping. Call Quality Roofing Solutions. Quality Roofing Solutions, because your house deserves a hat that actually fits.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app. Tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
Shh. Be very, very quiet. I'm hunting wabbits.
Yeah, a fairly sizable storm is right on top of us right now. If you're in, I guess if you're on Garson Point, you're really getting hit pretty good. But also Western Escambia County is getting hard right now. Like, this storm goes, this is going to be a long time. This storm stretches to Texas. And it's just a line of storms right along the waterfront that is basically coming directly on a path for us. So, yay.
Yay, so but, sweet of them.
But the good news is you won't have to run the sprinklers today or tomorrow. And Ryan Jenkins can maybe get the right amount of rain to harvest the peanuts easily. Although, what does he always say? We want rain, but not too much rain. So I hope it's not too much rain. We'll see. John Pickens has got traffic for us. John?
All right. We've got a few accidents on the board right now at Scenic Highway and Davis Highway. We're seeing some road blockage associated with that one. Still dealing with the accident on University Parkway and Nine Mile Road. Seeing the traffic slowdowns on University Parkway. And also another one that just popped up, East Fairfield and Old Palafox. It's saying the roadway is blocked there. We'll get you more information on that. I-10 eastbound, still seeing some major delays. Traffic is backed up all the way to 9 Mile due to construction and congestion. And also Davis Highway southbound, about south of the hospital, heading toward Olive Road, is seeing some major delays through. And Highway 90... Highway 90's backed up way past the bridges going southbound right now into Pensacola. So pack your patience with that one. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
A lot of rain, a lot of slow.
Yep.
A lot of rain, a lot of slow.
I warned them.
Yep. All right. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. Disney shareholders are threatening legal action over the suspension of Jimmy Kimmel. The late night host, of course, brought back this week after a suspension that lasted just a few days. A team of lawyers has sent Disney a letter saying that company executives may have breached their fiduciary duties by placing political considerations above the best interests of stockholders. The letter said that Disney's stock suffered significant declines in response to their decisions.
Did you see the numbers on that one night? So his normal is under 2 million.
Right.
Like 1.5, something like that. 6 million. And that was missing 25% of the markets because of Sinclair and Nexstar. So really 8 million. And the I was looking at some of the like the download numbers on YouTube and or the watch numbers, and typical monologue from Jimmy Kimmel runs about two to five million. It was over 18 for the one day in the first 24 hours. So
wow,
yeah, people watched at least one episode. So
yeah, the trick is does it stay? Does it stay there?
Yeah, I think the answer is no. But anyway.
J.D. Vance says President Trump is growing incredibly impatient with Russia over the Ukraine war. The vice president yesterday saying that Trump, quote, doesn't feel like they're putting enough on the table to end the war. And Vance said that if Russia refuses to negotiate in good faith, it would end very badly for their country. Researchers have reported some promising results for a new gene therapy targeting Huntington's disease. The treatment, AMT-130, slowed the disease progression by 75% over 3 years in early trials. University College London scientists, though, are urging caution that FDA approval for this could still be years away.
Oh, by the way, on the Jimmy Kimmel story, you know, Trump is now threatening to sue ABC over a unreported campaign contribution because he says it's an arm of the DNC. Yeah, there's actually a very specific and very vivid exemption for media from that rule. So, just, you know, as a matter of law, sir, you're, what's the word I want? Completely wrong. That's the word I want.
News. I'm CJ Papa. Turkey's President Erdogan visits President Trump at the White House this morning. Turkish officials trying to walk back remarks from Erdogan earlier this week on Fox's special report.
Jimmy, did it end? It still goes on. Similarly, he said, I will finish the war in Gaza.
Jimmy,
did it end? No.
Erdogan, through an interpreter, casting doubt on the job President Trump is doing in Russia's war in Ukraine and the conflict between Israel and Hamas, finding the government by the end of the month. Florida Congressman Greg Stubbe blames Chuck Schumer, the top Democrat in the Senate.
This will be a Schumer shutdown if this doesn't pass. The Republicans passed it in the House.
The Republican on Fox Business, the bill needs 60 votes to pass through the Senate and reach the desk of President Trump. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 731 at News Radio, 92.3, 74 degrees right now. We've got cloudy skies and looks like the rain has slowed down or maybe temporarily stopped here for a moment, at least here at our studios, but definitely seeing some rain reports around the area this morning. The Santa Rosa Island Authority Board approved an agreement with Escambia County and Escambia County Sheriff's Office to install new security cameras across Pensacola Beach yesterday. That project is part of a phased initiative, which will add 14 multi-sensor cameras around key areas like Casino Beach and the Boardwalk parking lot. The cameras will feed into the Sheriff's Office and their real-time crime center. Escambia County will be contributing $199,625 for the installation. Maintenance costs will be shared between the county and the Santa Rosa Island Authority. A man who worked for the Escambia School District is accused of trafficking drugs. Kendrick Johnson was arrested yesterday. He worked as a coach for Escambia County Public Schools. The district says that he was fired immediately once they learned of the charges. There's an Army captain facing charges, including sexual battery on a child and child pornography in Walton County. 30-year-old Sean Benjamin Cushman, who was arrested back in July by law enforcement officers. They say videos and images of child pornography were found when they searched Cushman's residence in South Carolina. Some of the videos were thought to have been recorded in Walton County. Cushman was stationed at Fort Gordon in Georgia at the time. A groundskeeper at Jay High School was arrested on charges of soliciting a romantic relationship with a student. The Santa Rosa County School District terminated 52-year-old Kevin Ross Dunning's employment after they received reports of inappropriate messages sent to a 15-year-old female student. Officials say the messages were shared via Facebook Messenger and included personal and suggestive comments. Dunning admitted to communicating with the girl but denied having any sexual intent. The school district emphasized its commitment to student safety. They say they're cooperating with law enforcement in the ongoing investigation. Dunning was taken into custody Monday. He's being held in the Santa Rosa County Jail on $25,000 bond. Well, Governor DeSantis says he wants to make Florida a beacon of hope when it comes to cancer research. He was in Tampa yesterday announcing $60 million in funding.
Since 2019, we in the state of Florida have invested more than $1 billion in cancer research and treatment.
And the money is from the Florida Cancer Innovation Fund. It'll focus on how nutrition can help treat or prevent cancer. DeSantis made the announcement yesterday at USF to mark the Department of Health's World Cancer Research Day. DeSantis says innovation today means saving lives tomorrow. 735 at News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. All right, we're dealing with the accident that happened at University Parkway and Nine Mile Road that's still causing some delays. And we've also had an accident that happened at Scenic in Davis right as you get off the Highway 90 bridge going southbound into Pensacola, which is causing some major delays. I'd say about a 20-25 minute delay because traffic is backed up all the way back into Pace. And Avalon Boulevard southbound, seeing some delays. Traffic is pretty well backed up there, trying to get onto I-10. Let's see here. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, seeing about a 7 to 9 minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And right now, looks like the rain did cool things off by a degree or two. We're at 76 and cloudy right now. And our next news at 8 o'clock, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Starbucks said it has approved a restructuring plan to close underperforming coffee houses in North America and cut some jobs as the company looks to revive sales and profits under CEO Brian Nickel. The company has been overhauling its operations in the U.S. Nexstar Media Group said it is continuing to evaluate whether it will bring Jimmy Kimmel Live back to its ABC affiliate stations a day after the late-night show returned to the Disney-owned network. Nexstar and Sinclair, who both own ABC affiliates, did not air Kimmel's return to late night on Tuesday. The European Commission has opened an investigation into possible anti-competitive practices by German software giant SAP. SAP said it believed its policies and actions were fully compliant with EU competition rules. The company is one of Europe's most valuable, with a market cap of almost $331 billion. Futures are slightly lower. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials lost 171, the NASDAQ down 75, the S&P 500 down 18. That's your money now.
Looking for a stylish way to promote your brand or celebrate a special occasion? Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze now offers custom hats, a new addition to their lineup of custom and promotional items. From corporate logos to personalized designs, these hats are perfect for businesses, events, team gear, or one-of-a-kind gifts. Prim and Proper is still your go-to for custom engraving and unique gifts. From personalized drinkware to engraved home decor, every item is crafted with care by their in-house experts. Visit primandproper.com for more.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us tomorrow at 9:30 for the Pensacola Expert Panel with me, Eldon Scott, your host, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing barbecue prizes, and hear how Sunny's Barbecue is helping to build a strong Pensacola. We're spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Make sure to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 7:39 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Escambia County at the moment is in a little bit of a lull phase with some of this rain, but there's more coming. So what you saw a half hour ago, you're going to get that for another hour or two once it finally gets here. Mike Wood, he is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. He always joins us on a Thursday. Hey, Mike, welcome back, sir.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning. Have you guys seen any particular problems this morning because of the rain? I always think about the low-lying spots, some of which are being worked on, right? That whole project in front of Joe Paddy's is getting ready to finish up here soon. That'll be better. I mean, it's closed now, but, you know, it'll be better soon. And Graffiti Bridge, have you guys seen anything this morning?
Yeah, Graffiti Bridge is the first place we look, and so far, so good. The rain has been there. It just hasn't been heavy enough to close any roadways yet.
All right. Well, that's always the good news. Do want to ask you about Seafood Festival, because that is going on. What do you want people to know about road closures or schedules, or, you know, how are we handling that this time?
Well, they're down there setting up now. It's going to go on this weekend. It's it looks like the weekend weather-wise is going to be great, so we expect large crowds down there. Just be careful. The problem we have down in that area is parking in front of people's driveways, blocking driveways, and your vehicle will get towed if you do that. So just make sure you find a good place to park, a legal place to park, facing the right way, and everything will be okay.
Very good. Had some questions for you related to open carry. As you know. All law enforcement agencies in Florida are trying to figure this out. And, you know, I think that this has kind of been an omission of guidance from the Attorney General's office, where they should really be clarifying some of this stuff. And I know that, you know, legislators are going to have to clarify some of this stuff as well. But just, you know, like in the county, I know, you know, Sheriff Simmons is not enforcing any prohibition against 18, 19, and 20-year-olds. There's also some question about the prohibited locations. But just, you know, to reiterate, in the city, you guys are enforcing, you know, you're saying open carry not for a 19-year-old, and all of the standard prohibited locations for concealed carry apply to open carry, right?
Yeah, so we're trying to figure it out just like everybody else. And if there's any questions, we get with supervisors. We talk about it in lineups on things that we're going to be doing, things that we're going to enforce, and things that we're not. And you got to look at the way that this came down. It was a decision that was made instead of something that was being looked at for weeks and months at a time and being studied. So it's going to get straightened out. It always does. Mm-hmm. But if there's any question, then, again, we talk about this amongst our patrol officers and our supervisors. And if things change, which they already have a couple of times since this came out, yeah, then we will adopt to that change.
And, you know, one of the things that, frankly, I've been kind of pleasantly surprised about is there haven't seemed to have been any incidents, not really. Is that still the case in the city? That, like, it's just kind of not been a non-issue?
Yeah, it really has been. And keep in mind, and you mentioned Seafood Festival and other places, keep in mind that places like that are private events, and the people that run the show there can say and can post signs that the weapons are not allowed. So, and that's what we go by. So most of the time there will be signage there. And again, you've got the obvious places that you cannot carry at all. So if there's any question, you can always call us and let us know where you're going, what the question is, and we'll do our best to get you an answer.
But Seafood Festival, as far as we know, people can carry there, but just be aware that they could prohibit it if they decided to. Is that right?
Yeah, I haven't been told of anybody restricting anything down there. But again, if that changes, I'm sure they'll post signage. There's a lot of officers working down there as we speak. They will be told about it. And we're not going to, you know, be heavy-handed on that. We'll warn people, let them know that this isn't a private event, and they would rather people not be carrying openly at their event. And they can do that.
And I think it's also the kind of thing where, you know, people who are attending, this may be the first sort of big, you know, open event where you suddenly see other people carrying a gun. And I have been surprised to find out, but it's just true that there are some people who to this point don't even know that the law has changed. And so be aware that the law has changed. So if you see something, you know, don't be freaked out by it. The law has changed. Chief Brown is in the drop program, right? And so she is going to be retiring, but it's going to be more than a year out, I think, if I remember correctly. You correct me if I'm wrong. But we are now back into an open nationwide search phase. Is that right?
Yeah, and the mayor said when he appointed Chief Brown that there was going to be a search, there was going to be a nationwide search, and that's exactly what's going on. You know, the question kind of comes up sometimes, isn't there any talent within the police department? Why do you need a nationwide search? There certainly is the talent for that position in the police department, but the mayor didn't want his hands tied. He wanted to look at the whole big picture, and that's what's going on.
Okay, very good. We're talking to Mike Wood. He is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. And we have kind of a cool story this week, which is, I think, the same is going to be our Did You Know? And that's that a couple of your deputies, a couple of deputies in the department, not really your deputies, but, you know, they're your buddies. They have been involved in developing a new system that's supposed to help folks when they're in, like, classrooms and there's active shooter kind of situations. We'll talk about it in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Still dealing with the accident that happened at Scenic and 9 Mile right here at the foot of the, if you're going Highway 90 southbound, that has traffic backed up all the way into Pace going southbound. So just be aware of that. Also, Avalon Boulevard southbound headed toward I-10 is seeing some major delays there, about a 20-25 minute delay. And I-10 eastbound between, 9 Mile and Highway 29 seeing some major delays just due to construction and congestion. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. WEAR had a pretty good video on this new invention. Lieutenant John Austin is one of the persons who was involved in it.
There could be shooting on the end of the door. They find that it's locked. Now I'm at a standstill. Now I'm going to try to kick it. I'm going to try to break the glass. I'm going to look around to try to find some alternate means to get in there. I'm going to get on the radio and call for help, someone to bring breaching equipment. So you see the problem. That's time, and that's a big problem. Or I could take this device out, put it on the end of my weapon, lean in, and I'm done. So it's, you know, seconds matter, and this thing is designed to allow officers to get instantly into doors.
This could be the matter between life and death in some
absolutely,
cases.
Absolutely. I'm very passionate about it. I want everyone to see this. I want everyone to have this.
This is a pretty great story for PPD. Mike Wood, tell us what John Austin and there's one other officer, too, that was involved in this, right? What did they invent or what did they help invent?
Well, it's Officer Jason Browning. Both of these have extensive experience as SWAT officers. They saw a problem, and if you think about it, Andrew, every single time we have an active shooter in this country, there's only one thing slowing law enforcement down between making contact and eliminating that threat, and that's a locked door. And most of the time, these events happen inside commercial buildings with heavy-duty doors and heavy-duty locks. And Lieutenant Austin and Officer Browning, along with Dark Mountain Arms, got together. They collaborated, and they instantly, it took several months, but they found a problem. They saw the problem. They found a solution. This will fit on the end of the rifle. They're small. They're just about the size of a small flashlight. They can go in the officer's utility belt, the outer carrier, and even in their pocket if they needed to do that. And they can be put on this weapon instantly and go through that door. So the thing that slows us down, those doors, that problem is eliminated now. And it's absolutely 100% going to save lives. What we need to do is get the word out, get it out to all the police departments across the country to say, hey, this device does exist. This will solve your problem. And we would like to see this in the hands of every single police department, not only in the country, but in the world, because it will save lives.
Now, if people are unfamiliar with what we're talking about, it's if you think of the rifle, the AR-15 style rifle that the police have access to, this is something that you would put on the end. It would look like what you would think of as a silencer, basically. It looks a little bit like that. And then you put it up against the door and you basically shove the rifle into the device, which then uses, as I understand it, you correct me if I'm wrong, something like a shotgun shell against the door lock mechanism itself to expel that out, meaning that the door is no longer locked. It's a one-time use. You carry it, like I said, in your pocket or on your gear, and then you take it off the end of the rifle, and then you can head towards the shooter. Is that the basic idea of this thing?
Well, a couple of things. You can use it more than once if you have another round, but what it uses is a 12-gauge breaching round, which is after you fire it, it turns into a fine powder, eliminating fragmentation. So if you're worried about what's on the other side of the door, it's designed to do that. It's designed to destroy the lock or the hinge and open that door without hurting people or on the other side of that door.
Got it.
So if it doesn't work the first time, you can reload that same you can reload it and try again. But most of the time and through the testing that they've done, that second time is just not needed.
And the key there is that when you're stuck on the wrong side of a locked door, you're now talking minutes or longer when seconds count. And, you know, that's a vital tool to be able to use in that way. The other thing that I wanted, because my very first thought when I heard this was, awesome, what happens when bad people get it? You know, because if bad people come into possession of it, all of a sudden that's a way to get into somebody's home or into their business or, you know, whatever. But this is going to be, what, only available to law enforcement? Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
For exactly that reason, right? Because it's a great tool for the good guys. It's a horrible tool for the bad guys.
That's exactly right. So, you know, it's designed for the good guys to take out the bad guys or to get the bad guys, and that's exactly what it's going to do. We're happy to see this and eliminate a huge problem with active shooters that we see all too many times in this country now.
So are Austin and Browning going to keep coming to work when they're rich, or are they going to just retire on the residuals?
Well, that's a question for them, but I know what I would do. Yeah. You know what? You know, in all honesty, I know these two guys, and they absolutely did not do it for the money.
I know.
And I talked to Lieutenant Austin about this. He told me this to my face. He said, if I could give these things away for free, I absolutely would do it. So it's not about the money. It's about saving lives. And it's just a matter of time before I'm back on your show telling you that some lives were saved somewhere in this country because of this device.
Amen. I'll take it. And I don't mind them making money for a good invention, too. People should be compensated for their IP. Mike Wood, he is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for keeping us informed, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
7:50 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you're thinking about doing a real estate transaction, you want to sell your house, or you want to know if it's a good time to sell your house. You know, you've heard stuff in the news. That's good. It's bad. Interest rates. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. Well, you know, why don't you ask somebody who does it all the time? Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they sell houses all the time. I mean, basically every other day they're selling a house, which is kind of crazy. But they sell them all the time, so they know, you know, what's the market doing? And it's not just like the market, but it's what's the market doing in Gulf Breeze at 800 grand? You know, what's the market doing in Cantonment at 500 grand? What's the market doing in a two-bedroom? How about a four-bedroom? What about a condo? You're upsizing, you're downsizing, you're buying a vacation rental. I mean, all the different things. They're all different problems. They might generally be under the market, but they are all individual markets, and so it's important to know what are all these different things doing, and they can help you with that. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, you know, great folks, especially, I mean, Christina's just the best. She'll sit down and talk with you, and you can be friends, and if you're a client, that's great. If you're not a client, that's great. If you're a referral, that's great. It doesn't matter. She just loves to talk to people about real estate. 786-3996. Feel free to call her with your questions. 786-3996. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hurricane season is here, and Gulf Breeze Natural Gas helps provide the most reliable energy source. There are advantages to having natural gas in your home or business. Major storms typically do not cause widespread outages because gas lines are buried and protected. Most appliances, including cooking and hot water, still work during electrical outages. A gas generator gets everything back up and running within 30 seconds. That's the length of this commercial. Learn more about how to be best prepared at GulfBreezeNaturalGas.com.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops, and they come together here to drive growth in innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
Hi, this is Adana from Mathnasium.
Mathnasium is thrilled to join the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9. If you have school-aged kids, you won't want to miss this. Whether your child is catching up, keeping up, or ready to get ahead, Mathnasium has a solution tailored just for them. We're not just teaching math, we're changing lives through it. I can't wait to dive into the world of Mathnasium with you on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm sick of hearing about your stupid orphans.
What did you just say?
I hate orphans.
Say it again to my face.
I hate them.
Come again?
Just listening to the Songs of Surrender from U2 opened up all kinds of new music for me for them, because I had not owned all their albums, you know, but I love the acoustic reversions, you know, the what do you call that when they, there's a musical term for it, now I can't think of it, rearrangements of all of their music. It's awesome stuff. 7:54 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Rain and thunder. More to come. Seriously, all day, all morning. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Former FBI Director James Comey is expected to be indicted on criminal charges today. A report from MSNBC says prosecutors are expected to file charges at a federal court in Virginia regarding false statements Comey allegedly made to Congress in 2020 about a probe into Russian meddling in the presidential election. One person dead and two more critically injured after a shooter opened fire at an ICE facility in Texas yesterday morning. That happened at a Dallas field office. The 29-year-old suspect was found dead on top of a nearby building with a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
You know, I can't decide what's worse or weirder. Like, he just randomly fired into a vehicle that had detainees in it. So he's shooting the people that allegedly he is on the side of.
Right.
And he can't see the targets. Is that worse or better? I mean, compared to like actively shooting at deputies, it's just the whole thing is so insane. The whole thing is just insane. And now they're taking all kinds of extra precautionary measures at these facilities to, you know, defend against, protect against all the, you know, the same kind of thing we saw with schools. You know, schools now have to invest in all this infrastructure to defend against these lunatics. Anyway, go ahead, David.
Measles cases are now at a new high since the disease was declared eradicated 25 years ago. More than 1,500 cases have been reported by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention as of Wednesday, with outbreaks now reportedly spreading into Utah and Arizona.
All right, David, thanks for the update. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Well, the good news is the traffic is starting to flow again on Highway 90. It was backed up into Pace, but I'm just seeing that it's actually moving. So great news on that. Let's see here. They've got that earlier accident out of the way. Davis Highway and North Cross Lane. We're seeing an accident that just popped up right now. We'll get you more information on that. And I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, seeing our normal congestion construction delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality used cars. And, you know, they may not have what you want. I mean, they might have something that's close. In fact, the reason, part of the reason you start there is because this giant buffet of 300 cars, you know, SUVs and vans and trucks and, you know, Jeeps and sedans, is it's a good start. And, you know, they, you can see, you know, do I like the Ford? Do I like the Chevy? Do I like the Kia? Do I like the Honda, the Toyota? You know, you can kind of see them all in the genre or the type side by side. But, you know, maybe you want one that's blue and all they got is one that's black. Well, send them to look for one that's blue. Maybe you want one that's a little bit cheaper and you're willing to get it with lower, with higher miles, or maybe a year or two older. Send them looking for it. Or, you know, they've got like the lower trim model and you want the higher trim level. Again, they go consignment shopping at auctions for people for cars all the time. And, you know, if they find one, they'll kind of, you know, they'll shoot you a text, you know, hey, does this look like a good one to you? And you, that doesn't mean you agree to buy it, but it means, you know, we think this is on the right track. And then if they get it, great. You know, the point is you can not just treat them as the place to go looking at cars, but actually as like your personal shoppers to go find cars for you if they don't have exactly what you want. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. 437-1620. Oh, somebody sent me in a text here. Says, Andrew, I want to share a coincidence with you. Yesterday morning, I was startled to drive up on a bicyclist wandering down the middle of the eastbound lane of Main Street. No lights, no reflective clothing, no helmet. In the middle of the night, oblivious to my headlights behind her until I was about to beep the horn at her, she eventually drifted over the shoulder so I could pass without running her over. Thank God I was paying attention because she was hard to see until about 50 feet away. And 20 seconds later is when, you know, we had broken the news story about the, you know, bicyclist who had just been struck and severely injured on the north side of town. I mean, this is every day in Pensacola. It is harrowing to drive at night in this town because you never know when there's going to be some pedestrian, wearing dark clothing is super common on the wrong side of the street or in the street. Bicyclists do the craziest things in this town. I've never in my life lived in a place where I saw people riding bikes as if they're playing Frogger on major roads. It's crazy. I don't know what the answer is. There may not be an answer, but it is. I mean, if you've grown up here and you've seen it your whole life and you're like, that's just how people are. It's not. There's no other place I have ever lived where I have seen this. And it is terrifying. Pay attention out there, man, because you don't want to be the one to hit them, for sure. Local.